The Buffalo Bills showed resiliency on Thanksgiving, and I'm here to talk about what matters most coming out of the win over the Lions today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. I want to thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Happy Victory Friday to you. The Buffalo Bills defeated the Detroit Lions 28-25 on Thanksgiving. And once again, Josh Allen ate a turkey leg on national TV, and the Bills improved to 8-3. I'll tell you what, if the NFL is going to keep complicating my Thanksgivings and your Thanksgivings by having the Bills play a football game, it better end with Josh Allen and company eating turkey legs on my television. And look, that's three of the last 4 years now that the Bills have played on Thanksgiving. We get it. People like to watch Josh Allen play football. We do too. But if the Bills have to do this again next year, how about a home game? How about a home game for the late kick, NFL? I think we can all sign up for that. Well, we have some stuff to talk about. The first segment here on this podcast is going to be me just being real with everyone about my thoughts on this football team, and then we will get into the things that I liked and the things that I didn't like from the Bills' win over the Lions, and of course my predictions, and talk about what's next. But I want to start by talking about resiliency, because that is the prevailing thought on my head right now. I'll be honest with you, there have been many times over the last 2 years where I legitimately questioned if the Bills were actually a resilient football team. It's a word that Coach McDermott often uses, and I have found myself questioning if that were actually true. Now, you guys know that I'm a big fan of Sean McDermott. I believe in his leadership and all that type of stuff, but whether or not I would actually characterize his football team as resilient is something that I have questioned. I can tell you today, without a shadow of a doubt, that the 2022 Buffalo Bills are a resilient football team. Now, they might not be a dominant football team. More on that in a minute. They might not be a dominant football team, but they are resilient. This team has faced some real challenges this year. And I think that starts with the heartbreaker of all heartbreakers in the Chiefs' playoff loss. Then the Bills' coaching staff experienced some legitimate attrition for the first time in a while. There was a fair amount of roster turnover for the first time in a while. They've battled significant injuries since training camp, and that has only gotten worse throughout the season. And of course, the dynamics of everything that has happened since the Jets' loss, whether that's the snowstorm, Josh Allen's injury, playing a home game on the road, and then having to come back there a few days later to play again. That's tough stuff. And I understand that this is high stakes professional football. But not only have the Bills been crazy shorthanded, they just haven't practiced much offensively. I'm not happy with the Bills' offense right now, but when I take a step back and I consider the why, there is some really, really important context behind why it doesn't look like it did earlier this season or even dating back to the start of 2020. Practice matters. Offensive football is all about timing and chemistry to execute with any level of consistency. And when you think about the amount of legitimate practice reps that the Bills have had, especially on offense with Josh Allen, it's been extremely minimal over the last 3 weeks. And whether that has been due to Josh Allen needing to limit his own reps with the elbow injury and the time that he's obviously spent rehabbing and not practicing, the dynamics of the snowstorm followed by a short week on the road, they just haven't had a lot of time together. And that makes it difficult for there not only to be consistent execution, but to actually evolve the scheme and develop some new wrinkles on a weekly basis. Now, with that said, the last three games under those circumstances, the Vikings, the Browns, and the Lions, the three games coming out of the Jets loss and only those three games, the Bills are averaging 28 points per game and 415 yards per game over the last three. Both of those numbers would be number two in the NFL right now. So at a moment in time where I don't think anyone is in love with what's happening with this offense, and Josh Allen is clearly not fully himself, the Bills are still producing like a top-of-the-league offense. This offense was rough coming out of the half. The four series coming out of the half, the Bills go interception, punt, punt, punt in those first four drives. At some point in that stretch, I had a moment with myself where I realized the team I was watching wasn't the Bills I was expecting when the season began. And I want to expand on that, and I want to talk about Josh Allen first. Josh Allen isn't himself right now, and it's not just because Tony Romo couldn't stop talking about how the elbow injury was impacting him, but we've watched Josh Allen play football. We know he's not fully himself right now. He is compensating for the elbow. He is under-repped in practice, and there's obviously a mental component of it all, not only from playing through the injury and not having the practice time, but the mental component of how much the turnovers have cost the team. And I had a conversation last year with Jordan Palmer, who is Josh Allen's personal quarterback's coach. And we were talking about, or he was talking to me about, the common denominator in when quarterbacks are playing at a high level and when they're not. And he said the number one variable that is true for quarterbacks who are performing well is confidence. They're confident in themselves, the scheme, and the players around them. When they're confident, they can perform well. Jordan told me going into the playoffs last year that Josh Allen didn't feel like anyone could stop him. And Josh was right. He was confident. That's not true right now for a number of reasons. Josh is dealing with an injury. There have been miscues. He's let the team down. And the team has also let him down a little bit. That's not a recipe for the confidence needed for Josh Allen to play at an elite level like we all expect him to. And then you consider the rest of the team beyond Josh Allen. The offensive line down the stretch was down Deion Dawkins for the second half. They didn't have Mitch Morse to start the game at all. And so the two most stable offensive linemen that you've had over the last few years weren't in the lineup. Ryan Bates goes from right guard to center. Greg Van Roten comes into the game at right guard. And in the second half, you have David Questenberry as your left tackle. That's tough. You're down two receivers that you are counting on, and Jake Kumerow and Jamison Crowder. You're working in a new backfield that includes a rookie in James Cook and a player in Naheem Hines that you just acquired, and you really haven't had a chance to onboard him with any consistent amount of practice time. And all of this is under a brand new offensive coordinator in Ken Dorsey in his first season on the job with a new O-line coach and a new quarterbacks coach, and it's your 11th game together. I know it's professional football and nobody cares about injuries, but those are some meaningful variables to consider when you're thinking about the way this offense is and is not performing. With all that considered, over the last three games and the last three games only, they're averaging 28 points per game, over 400 yards per game, number two in the NFL. Then you look to the defense. And my brother David, he sent me a text during the game, and he said something that was pretty revealing to me. He said, every single defensive starter and most backups have missed time this year due to injuries, with the exception of Daquan Jones and Taron Johnson. Do the inventory in your head. It's absolutely insane. So you're watching this defense, which feels like the Lions could do whatever they wanted to until the very end. And we talked about the Lions all week. I try to tell you they're not a bad football team. They have a great offensive scheme, a bright offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson. They've been scoring points, moving the football all year long. So if you just went into this game assuming that, well, it's the Lions and they've been trash ever since I've been born, you didn't have the right perspective for this football game. I knew that they were going to be tough to deal with on offense, and they were. But I'm watching this defense that lost Von Miller, right? So second quarter, something like that. They entered the game without A.J. Epinesa and Gregory Rousseau. The Bills are without their top three defensive ends. Mike Love is off the practice squad playing critical snaps. You don't have Tremaine Edmonds, your leader, your Mike linebacker. And in his place is a guy that you signed off the street last week in A.J. Klein. And I know he's been part of the team in previous years, but not this year with this group. And not to mention, I'm pretty sure the Bills are like his third team this year. At corner, Trey White is on the field for the first time since last Thanksgiving. He can only play 15 snaps. Your first-round pick at corner in Kyer Elam is working back after missing the last two games with an ankle injury. So now you're relying on Christian Benford and Dane Jackson to play a majority of your snaps at corner. And at the end of the day, those guys are two late-round picks over the last 3 years. You don't have Micah Hyde. Jordan Poyer's trying to play on one arm. And so now your sixth-round pick from last year is playing 100% of the snaps on defense in DeMar Hamlin. Folks, in the current state, in the Buffalo Bills' current state, expecting them to be a dominant football team is just not reasonable. There has just been too much. It has caught up with them. The injuries and the other variables make it, to me, impossible for them to be dominant like we expected them to be and the way that they were early this season. But they are resilient. They are resilient. The Bills still haven't consistently played great football in all three phases. But the good news is that they can still get reasonably healthy. This can still come together, and they can find their way again to being a dominant football team. But for now, let's just be glad that they've actually showed some legitimate resiliency that should make them a whole lot better in the long run. I hope you've been getting in on the action over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is my favorite daily fantasy resource. How does it work? You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available, and they have projections for literally every sport that you watch. So not just the NFL, but NBA and the NHL, college sports, soccer, Euro basketball, you name it. You can find it over at Prize Picks, and entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match worth up to $100. All right, let's talk about things I liked and things that I didn't like. We'll start with things that I liked. I liked that this football team found a way. And this game, what's interesting about it, when you really think about it, it could have gotten out of hand both ways. The Bills could have developed a multi-score lead just as well as the Lions could have. But the Bills stayed in it. They made the plays at the end necessary to win the game on offense, defense, and special teams, and got out of there with a win. I like Josh Allen for a lot of reasons in this game, and a lot of that considers the circumstances that we talked about in the opening segment. But this guy, with all of that considered, produced 331 yards of offense and 3 touchdowns. Stepped up when it absolutely mattered late in the game. A drive for the go-ahead touchdown, and then that crazy throw to Stephon Diggs over the middle, to literally on one play with 23 seconds left in it, put him in range. He ripped it. I mean, that was a seed. That was a, I mean, I don't want to swear, but it was one of those throws where he said, F it. I'm going to rip one, and I'm going to trust 14 to go make a play on the ball, and he did. Did what they needed to do late to win a ball game. How about Devin Singletary? 15 touches, 80 yards. Quality contributions from him in this ball game. Stephon Diggs, loved him. Obviously, some huge grabs on third down. Wasn't the most efficient game for Josh Allen throwing the ball to Diggs, but you know, like I said, some big third down conversions. The critical go-ahead touchdown with a beautiful route, good throw. And then, of course, the catch that put the Bills in position to win the game at the end. Big-time performance from 14. Isaiah McKenzie played well in this ball game. 8 touches, 103 yards. He helped them. Offensively, did some things situationally a lot better than they have in recent weeks. Third downs, they were 7 of 12, and they scored touchdowns on 3 of 4 opportunities where they got into the red zone, which is much better. The only time they didn't score was the Josh Allen interception, and get the ball up, and that's probably a touchdown to Diggs. So I feel like the offense, despite it sputtering for the entire third quarter seemingly, had some quality moments there. It did. Especially, again, reminding you of the circumstances we just talked about for 12 minutes or whatever in the opening segment. On defense, things that I liked. How about the defensive tackles? Ed Oliver was a monster in this one. 6 tackles, 2 for a loss, a safety, a sack, forced fumble, fumble recovery, 2 quarterback hits. Ed Oliver starting to come together for him this year. Unfortunately, had the injury early, but you could start to feel it. And he's been unbelievable on these Thanksgiving games as well. So I thought that man deserved a turkey leg at the end as well. So I know that Tyler Bass hit the game winner and Diggs and Allen, I get it, but Ed Oliver deserved to be there too. Daquan Jones was a monster in this game. 6 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, 2 quarterback hits. Tim Settle made a splash play. Jordan Phillips got some pressure. That quartet, those 4 defensive tackles made a big-time impact in this game, and that's 2 weeks in a row where I thought they've been awesome. I thought the linebackers did some good things. A.J. Klein, tough spot, right? I mean, how many practices has he actually had with this team? It can't be more than 2 or 3. Played downhill. He flowed well. Obviously, he's not – nobody's Tremaine in coverage. You guys feel that? Do you see how teams are working the Bills over the middle of the field right now without Tremaine Edmonds in there? Everybody thought I was talking about a hoax or something when I'm sitting here telling you about how much he takes away in the middle of the field, because there's no tangible evidence of it. But the throws that that man takes off the menu, you're seeing them completed right now at will against the Bills on defense. That guy's a special player in coverage with what he takes away, and I feel like everybody finally should understand that. But as a downhill player, A.J. Klein, I thought, played well. Matt Milano played well, had some clutch stops, forced the action, had some missed tackles, though, that's for sure. But I think Matt was important for this defensive effort. How about seeing 27 on the field again? Trey White goes from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. I know he's on a pitch count, and we kind of got a little bit of a glimpse into the plan. Going to ramp it up, it seems like, a little bit each week. But seeing that guy on the field, I mean, I'm sure you guys felt like I did. Just chills. When you saw the news come through that he wasn't inactive and he was going to play, I mean, I had an emotional reaction to that. I felt some type of way. I'm sure you did. I love Trey White. I love what he's meant to this team. I've missed him. And not only can the team use him, but just like he's a human being. I mean, that's sometimes I think we can just sit back and take for granted what goes into recovering from an injury like that. Significant. To go from, okay, I have to have arthroscopic surgery in my knee to fix a torn ACL, to getting myself in position to, at the highest level, play football again. Cornerback, well, that's a tough position. I've always said, I think the toughest position in professional sports is cornerbacks. You got a quarterback and a receiver that both know where they're going, know where that receiver's going, and you got to stay connected to them. That's tough, man. You got to have athleticism. You have to have change of direction. You have to be able to pivot and twist and turn and transition and flip your hips and drive on things. Significant to come back from. And there's a lot baked into that. And we've gotten some glimmers of it, right? What Trey's talked about, some of the mental challenges that he had and the support that he needed from other people and how he attacked the rehab. It's a lot of work. A lot of people involved to get 27 back on the field, and it finally happened. Love that. Sam Martin is a high-quality punter, eh? After what we've seen. I would say, I don't think the Bills have had quality punting like we've seen from Sam Martin since before Brian. Like, Brian Moorman, in his last 2 years with the Bills, he was not a good punter. So whenever Brian Moorman was, like, his last good season, whenever that was, I feel like it's been that long since we've had a punter that I love, and Sam Martin just gets the job done. He's a high-quality guy. 4 outstanding punts today. I liked that Tyler Bass made the game-winning field goal. He mostly had a good game. I don't like that he missed the extra point. He had made, 104 in a row? But I will say this about that missed extra point. My immediate reaction was, crap. Right now it takes them into a situation where they don't have to score a touchdown and they can kick a field goal and tie the game. And then I had a moment of realization that I'm like, maybe that's not a bad thing, because it takes them out of a 4-down offense, and that at some point they're going to choose to kick a field goal. And hopefully there's a little time left on the clock for the Bills, who would then only need a field goal and they wouldn't lose. And I knew this Michael Badgley was a bad kicker. I told you that. He's on his fifth team since 2020. I know he was like 10 of 10 entering this game, but history tells you he's not a good kicker. And he damn near missed that game tying field goal at the end. And I was willing to kind of live with those odds. But I think getting the Lions out of a 4-down offense might have been the best thing for the Bills. And so in a very roundabout way, Tyler Bass missing that extra point might have won him the game. I know it sounds crazy, but think about it for a second. It changed the dynamics of what the Lions needed to do in that drive, which changed the opportunities for the Buffalo Bills. Big. So, do I like that he missed the extra point? Well, with the benefit of hindsight, yes. But even in the moment, I said, man, I think this could work out. It did. Things I didn't like. I mean, there were so many opportunities for the Bills to build a lead in the third quarter. So many opportunities. You start off the third quarter with a red zone turnover. Josh Allen throws an interception. I'm not super upset about it. As I think on the game right now, I don't know that Josh Allen did a lot of turnover worthy stuff. He's got to get the ball up a little bit there. I thought Diggs was going to come open on that glance route. They were going to score a touchdown. I think I even said touchdown before the throw, and then I was like, well, looking for Diggs to catch it, and it's tipped in the air. Josh has got to get the ball up. Maybe they knew the play. I don't know, but it was still there. So you go red zone turnover. Then you get a safety, and you do nothing on offense. You get 2 points, and you do nothing. You go up 5. You get the ball back. You do nothing on offense. They get the ball back. They miss a field goal. And then you go 3-and-out again? I mean, how many chances did you want to get a 2-score lead there? And you couldn't do it. Or at least get to an 8-point lead, right? Never got to it. So some situational things I didn't love there. Spencer Brown is a player that I want to mention right now. He's just a high variance guy. And look, there's some really good. I like the toughness. I like the physical skill set. I like his potential. But he continues to be a high variance player. I mean, you got a practice squad rookie coming in. And James Houston, that is working him a little bit. Like, I need Spencer Brown to win that matchup every time. And so for Spencer, like, you take the high-level approach, and you're like, well, he's small school, didn't play a ton of football in his entire life, didn't play his last season at Northern Iowa, big jump to the NFL, has battled injuries. Like, I get it. All that stuff matters, but I want him to be more consistent at right tackle. Dane Jackson, I mean, wow. This guy's getting worked right now, right? I mean, he's getting worked. Teams are throwing at 30 left and right. And so, like, credit to Dane for sticking in there and battling, but, dude, you are giving up a ton right now. Thought the tackling was very poor at times today in this ballgame. Red zone defense didn't love that. Gave up a touchdown 3 out of 4 times. The only time that they didn't, I think, was a turnover on downs. But there was that feeling when Detroit got into the red zone against the Bills defense where it just felt inevitable that they were going to score a touchdown. I didn't think the Bills had any chance to stop them. Did you feel that way too? I did. I just didn't have any confidence in the defense in those red zone situations. I didn't have any confidence them on third down and long again, right? I mean, what is going on here? 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, like, might as well just give them 12 yards. They're going to get it. Bill's 3rd and long defense is bad right now, and that's crazy to me. I've gotten some questions about, well, why are the Bills struggling so much on 3rd and longs? Well, I'm not sure that there's a simple this is why, but when I think about it and I say, well, I don't think the Bills are great at rushing the passer. I don't think they tackle well. They got injuries all over their back 7. The DBs don't win the ball in the air. Well, there's your answer, right? There's your answer. Tough to be consistently good on defense when you don't rush the passer well, you don't tackle well, you're injured in the back 7, and your DBs don't win the ball in the air. So there's my answer as to why I think the Bills are poor on 3rd and long, but they got to get that tightened up. Obviously, I don't like some of the injuries. Deion Dawkins didn't finish the game. That's a big deal. Von Miller didn't finish the game. It looks like a knee injury. The initial Twitter doctors are telling us that it's torn ACL. Then you get some reports that it's a knee sprain. Ian Rappaport, the last thing I saw was that he'll miss some time, but it's a question of when. He'll get an MRI tomorrow. Sean McDermott won't tell us anything, you know. So the Von Miller severity of his injury is going to be something we're going to be thinking about a lot here. Until we know the answer. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. If you've thought about securing your home with home security but have been putting it off, you'll want to listen up, because right now, Locked On Bills listeners can order the #1 rated Simply Safe home security for 50% off. This is their biggest offer of the year, and you won't want to miss it. Here's why I love Simply Safe. It's cutting-edge technology powered by 24/7 professional monitoring agents who always have your back, so you always know that your home is safe. And Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD securities for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that only alerts you when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/LockedOnNFL today. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/LockedOnNFL. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Let's close this thing out by looking back at my predictions and talking a little bit about what's next. Of course, 5 predictions. Let's see how I did. The first thing that I predicted was that Ed Oliver would have his first full sack of the season. Yes. That happened in a big way. It was a safety, put 2 points on the board. And, you know, I'm watching this ball game and I'm seeing Ed Oliver close, and he's working those guards and getting you know, causing some problems there. And I'm like, God, you got to get a sack, man. You got to get this sack. And then he did. And I was very happy. And of course, for it to be a safety was absolutely awesome. So I got that one right. Number two, I predicted a Dawson Knox touchdown. That didn't happen, huh? What do you have, one catch? Like one target maybe in the game? It was a good throw that Josh kind of got it layered over that defender and dropped it right in there for Dawson. But the Lions had been allowing a lot to tight ends. The fifth most yards to tight ends. Second most receiving touchdowns to tight ends. And Dawson wasn't the factor I thought he was going to be in, was hoping he would be in this ball game. So I whiffed on that one. The third thing that I predicted was Josh Allen accounting for at least three touchdowns. We got that. We got three touchdowns from Josh Allen, one rushing, two throwing, and that hadn't happened in the last four games. So maybe it wasn't like Josh Allen, 400 yards, four touchdowns, unstoppable, but all things considered, and I'm going to keep directing everyone back to that first segment, three touchdowns and whatever 300-something yards that he produced was really good. Anyways, I got the prediction right. So I got 2 for 3 so far. Didn't get this next one, though. I predicted 100 rushing yards from the Bills, running backs. They didn't do that. They got 82 yards, and almost all of that was courtesy of – I think 72 of that was courtesy of Devin Singletary. What, James Cook had two carries for, like, 5 yards after the big contributions against Cleveland. He's pretty much a non-factor. Almost cost the Bills an interception because he was not in the right place on that check down throw to Josh Allen. That was on James Cook. So almost cost him there. So the Bills got 82 yards from their running backs, which is exactly what they've averaged for the season. So I was expecting an above-average day running the football with running backs, and we didn't get it. Now, the Bills still had like 164 rushing yards, a lot of that courtesy of Josh Allen, but didn't get the 100 I predicted from the running backs. So we go, what is that, 2 for 4? And then I got the last one right. I said the Bills would win the ball game, and they did. So 3 for 5 on predictions this week. The next game for the Bills is a Thursday night football game a week from the last game that they played. At the New England Patriots. So huge, huge ball game next week. First time against the Patriots this year. The Bills are still searching for their first divisional win of the year, and they're entering this critical stretch because the next three games are all AFC East divisional games. So you go at New England, and then you do get a kind of like a mini bye, which the Bills absolutely need. You get that mini bye, and then you host the Jets, and then you host the Dolphins. So we're going to find out some stuff here. You know, this AFC East is tight right now. And if the Bills are going to win it for a third straight year, it's going to come down to how they perform in these next three ball games. Because right now they're 0-2 in the division. It's just not a good place to be. So with that in mind, you can watch some divisional football. The Patriots play on Thanksgiving night. So I'm recording this just before that ball game. So I have no idea what happens in it, but they're playing the Vikings, and New England is 7-4, if I'm not mistaken, right now. Or they're 6-4, something like that. So obviously they're going to be in a good position, and they got two to play against the Bills. So they probably feel very good about their opportunity to control their own destiny, if you will. I know that they beat the Jets twice, and they've lost to Miami. So they get another chance against Miami and two against the Bills. So this thing's wide open. The Dolphins are at home on Sunday, and the Dolphins had their bye week last week, and they're going up against the Texans. So I'm sure they're going to get to 8-3 unless the Texans play a lot better than I think they're capable of playing. And then the Jets, they're hosting the Bears on Sunday, and the Jets benched Zach Wilson. So Mike White starting. We'll see. I know the Jets are good on defense, but after Zach Wilson put it all together against the Bills, he was pure trash against the Patriots again, and he got benched. And of course, his awful comments about how he didn't feel like he let the defense down after what he completed 9 passes. They had 2 yards of offense in the second half. lost the game 10-3. So all that's going on in the division. Next week on the podcast, it's going to feel probably a lot like this week with the team again playing on Thursday. So we'll probably have a very similar week where we'll fit a lot in as much as we can before the game on Thursday. And then hopefully have another victory Friday. But obviously we'll spend a lot of time next week getting ready for the New England Patriots. A crucial stretch ahead here for the Buffalo Bills, kind of, I think, a defining stretch for this season over the next three. So it'll be important. We'll talk about it all here on the podcast, so don't miss anything. Make sure that you're subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Go Bills, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.